Once again, I bring you greetings from Hawaii. Pretty long walk from here. But praise God for modern inventions. We drove, got here safely. Amen. And good to be here with you this morning, particularly in this place, Vista, this house of worship. And it is my hope and prayer that is why we are here, to worship the one and only true God. The one that we were talking about in Sabbath school earlier this morning. He is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you sure you believe that?
Yes.
Come on, folks.
Yes.
Yes. We serve a risen Savior. You know, if you happen to go into the Sam's Club up in Corona, and if you walk straight in the front entrance, you go past the cash registers, all the way towards the back, towards the pharmacy area, and as you look up on a wall to your left, you see an inscription. Not too long ago, I was in there, and this inscription caught my attention and what it said. And this is what it says. It is not what you gather, but what you scatter that tells what kind of life you have lived. Not what you scatter, but what... I'm getting myself mixed up here. Not what you gather, but what you scatter that determines what kind of life you have lived. You know, particularly at this time of year, with Christmas just 4 days away, people are thinking, especially children, what am I going to get? How many of you have been peeking under the Christmas tree already? Checking to see if that gift has your name on it. I know I used to do that when I was a kid. We looked forward to it. But in today's world, you know, the general consensus of people is give me, give me, give me. I'll take anything you can give me. As a matter of fact, Amazon employees and now Starbucks employees are doing what?
Striking.
Why? They want more. Nice to get more, isn't it? But should that be our focus in life? I see sister here shaking her head. No. You know, when we go to apply for a job, one of the main questions that is asked is, how much am I going to get paid? What kind of benefits am I going to get? Been there, done that a few times myself. But should that be our main focus in life? Trying to make a living. Yeah, we ought to provide for our family, for our individual needs. But should that be our main focus in life? You know, as Christians, individuals who claim to love and serve Jesus, waiting for him to come, what should our main focus be? Sure, we need to pay attention to all of these things. How much we get paid? Am I going to be able to provide for my family, for myself, for my future? But again, should that be our main focus? As an answer to this question, I'm reminded of a story in 1 Kings chapter 17 about a widow in Zarephath. Remember that story? Previous to this, Elijah had stood before King Ahab and told King Ahab what? It ain't going to rain. because God said so. And it's not going to rain until God says so. And God tells Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, and there you will be fed. There you will have water. But eventually, because of the famine, the water dries up. And once again, God gives specific instruction to Elijah. Go to Zarephath, and there you will find a widow. Let's pick up the story, if you would, please, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. It says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And verse 12, she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, in the next verse, Elijah says to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now remember, this woman, she's a widow, doesn't have much. She has just told Elijah. She just has enough food for one more meal for herself and her son. And yet Elijah says to her, bring it to me first. Sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? You know, the woman could have said a few things to Elijah, like, you think I'm going to watch you eat while my son and I starve? Who do you think you are? I just told you, I only have this little bit of food. And it's our last meal. After that, we're going to die because there's nothing else for us to eat. But what does she do? She goes, prepares the meal. But before she does that, Elijah gives her a promise. There in verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And the next verse says, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat one meal? No. It says many days. Many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, this woman who put herself aside, she goes to prepare the meal and brings it to Elijah, as Elijah said to her to do. How many of you would have done just that? I have to ask myself the question, would I have done that? Would I give my last meal to someone else? And this someone else is looking kind of buff and strong, you know, healthy, not looking sickly. Doesn't look like he was starving, but yet he says, bring me your food first. Now, our scripture text for today is a very familiar one. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, simply says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what? Do all to the glory of God. Amen. Do all to the glory of God. In other words, no matter what we eat or drink, no matter what we do, if it is bringing glory to God, hallelujah, you're on the right track. You're on the right path. We will find ourselves being more mindful of others' needs. You know, how often do we see people at the intersections waiting for a handout? Yeah? I know in Hawaii, we have a few of them. In fact, quite a few. And when we moved here to California 3 years ago, I noticed the same thing. People standing on corners at intersections, waiting for people to give them something. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle with this as a Christian. You know, we say to ourselves, well, you know, if we give them money, they're only going to buy cigarettes, they're only going to buy something, you know, alcoholic beverage. They're not going to buy food. And I never used to give, even though I had. And what used to make me kind of chuckle was when they said, oh, do you have anything extra? Anybody has anything extra? There's never any extra, is there? What I have is what I have. You know, I need that for myself, for my family. But yet, here is this individual asking. And I finally came to the consensus that, you know what? I'm going to give whatever I can. And whatever they spend it on, that's up to them. That's their decision. Right? How often have I heard people say, oh, I don't give offering for the church because the money is not spent the right way. It's not your call. It's not my call. Our call is to give freely. Freely give. What are we scattering today as a church family, as individuals? Individuals who say, I am a Christian. Individuals who say, I love Jesus. Individuals who say, I love you. But yet, there's a part of me that doesn't want to give. You know, just the other day, my wife sent me to Walmart in Corona, and as I came up to the main road, there was a lady with an infant in a stroller, you know. And all I had was a $20 bill, and, you know, not, ooh, $20. I said, Pat, Do you really need that $20? I finally, as I approached the woman, I held out the money in her hands, in my hand, and gave it to her. And she looked at it and says, "Bless you." I said, "Well, bless you, ma'am. You have a good Christmas." You know what? Even though it was a $20 bill, I felt so good inside. I said, "Lord, thank you for the opportunity you gave me to give." Today, we have the opportunity to give, as Brother Joe mentioned earlier. And it's up to you, between you and God, what you want to give back to Jesus. You know, here we are today. We can ask ourselves, what did Jesus scatter as he lived here in this sin-filled world? We kind of talked a little bit about it in our previous Sabbath school lessons this quarter. He scattered love. He scattered acts of kindness. He scattered cheer, peace, compassion. What about us today? Are we doing the same? Or are we so focused on what am I going to get? What am I going to get? You know, if anyone has ever been involved in multi-level marketing, I know I've been there, done that. I don't know if any of you are involved in multi-level marketing right now, but you know how it works. You know, somebody gets you involved. Then the idea is you go and find somebody else, and that somebody else goes and finds somebody else, and so on down the line. And everyone is trying to help the person above you make money. Okay. Well, I got some news for you this morning. As I thought about this, you know, God is the one that first instituted multi-level marketing. Do you believe that? And the beautiful thing I love about God's method of multi-level marketing is that everybody is a winner. Everybody has the opportunity to be at the top. There's no tier. Everyone has the privilege of receiving a crown of life and to be able to partake of the fruits of the tree of life. So with God's method, yes, everyone is a winner. You know, there was a time in my life where I found myself working 10 to 12 hours a day for a construction company that I once worked for. I was employed as a heavy equipment operator, and on some job sites, I was the lead foreman on a job site. And it involved a lot of my personal time and effort. It was my job to not only operate pieces of equipment that I had to do, but it was also my job to see to it that all the other operators knew what they had to do. And even after the work day was finished, sometimes after dinner, I would find myself poring over blueprints, lining things up for the following day, so that the next morning there will be no delay. I was so caught up in this, taking up so much of my time, that I was found myself struggling with my relationship with God. Because why? My focus was so much on my job rather than my family, my church family. And one day I found myself saying, Lord, I have a problem. I see myself drifting away from you. And I remember one morning, my brother, who happened to be with me on this one particular job, he said to me, Pat, did you have your prayer? And I looked at him kind of surprised because he never did ask me that before. And I said to him, as a matter of fact, I did. But would you pray with me once more? And as we were there by our pickup trucks, getting ready to go to work, we prayed. And I remember his prayer. He said, Father, be with my brother. Help him to make the right decisions for us today, so that we can do our job the right way the first time. And after he said amen, I couldn't pray. I just stood there and cried. Because my brother was praying for me. He put himself aside. He actually was praying for me. And after we started working, and as I thought about this throughout the rest of the day, I said, Father, thank you that I have a brother like I do have. One who puts himself aside, willing to give of himself so that someone else can move ahead. That was my brother. He's no longer with us today. It's my hope and prayer that I will see him again with the rest of our loved ones. Yes. That brother in the tomb, Cleveland. You know, talking about prayer, there were times when my boss would come up to me and stop me from whatever I was doing. He said, Pat, can you pray with me? He knew I was a Christian, or one that professed to be a Christian. Let me put it that way. He was a Christian of a different faith, but nevertheless, he liked to pray. He loved to pray. And sometimes, as I said moments ago, he would come and stop me and say, Pat, there's this issue that just came up about the job site. And sometimes it even involved a different job, on another job site. He says, can you pray with me? And I would say, yes, of course, Bob. And one unique thing about these moments was that as he and I prayed, other guys from the job would come. And mind you, some of these guys never stepped foot in a church. But for whatever reason, when they saw Bob and I praying, they knew we were praying, they would come and join us. Just the presence. They would never pray themselves. Until one day, This one moment I'll never forget. Chris was his name. He was a bodybuilder, had a nice body, muscles all over. And after Bob and I got through praying, Chris started praying. And I remember he just simply said this, God, and there's this long pause. He says, I don't know what to say or how to do this, but another long pause. And I pray for whatever Pat and Bob was praying for. Amen. And as I stood there and looked at Chris, who happened to be standing right next to me, tears was rolling down his cheeks. Because for the first time in his life, he prayed. You know, we never know what we scatter, the results of what we scatter, until we see little things like this. My question to you is, are you scattering Jesus to whoever and whenever the opportunity arises? Are you and I scattering Jesus? If we believe so strongly that he is coming again, that we serve a risen Savior, are we sharing Jesus? Amen. Now, I got to share this other incident with you. Now, my wife and I, my family, my son in particular, back in Hawaii, we love to go to this place called Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know if you have that place up here. It's a place that serves chicken, you know, barbecue chicken, spicy chicken, whatever chicken you want, they serve it with salad. And as I went up to the desk to tell them how many of us was in our party, the guy tells me, oh, you're the one that prays at the table. And I looked at him kind of surprised, and I says, yes. He says, yeah, I notice you folks. Whenever you folks come, you always have grace, say prayer at the table. And I said, yes, we do. And we do it because we love Jesus. And he went on to tell me that, you know, my father is a pastor of a Sunday church, and I haven't been to church for a long time. I stopped going a long time ago. And I looked at him and said, well, yeah, it's never too late to start up again. He says, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And I said, all I can do, I can't even remember his name. I should remember his name. But I said, we will pray for you. And it doesn't matter which church you go to, as long as you find Jesus. Okay? As long as you find Jesus and serve Jesus, he will guide you to a church. Little acts that we do, you never know who sees you, who's watching, especially if they know you are a Christian. People are watching you. People are watching. So what are we scattering? Do I scatter Jesus? You know, Cleveland in Sabbath school this morning talked about Mary hearing Jesus' voice. And in our opening hymn this morning, hark the voice of Jesus calling. Do I hear Jesus calling? today. For you to go and speak for him. Now notice I said to speak for him. It does not mean that you have to stand up in front of a group. Sometimes the speaking is just a smile. Just a kind word. You know, there's a song that my wife and I heard recently. It's called I Speak Jesus. That's the title of the song. In fact, I wish we could do it right now. It's a beautiful song. I Speak Jesus. Wherever we go, we should be speaking Jesus. You know, it's unfortunate that many Christians today are ashamed to share Jesus. And one of the main excuses that I always hear is, oh, I don't know enough. Been there, done that myself. Yeah. I praise God for a pastor named Pastor Don Driver. Back in our church in Hawaii, I was the head deacon at the time in the church, and one day I had just gotten home from work and he calls me on the phone. He says, Pat, something just came up. I can't go to do a Bible study that I'm supposed to go to tonight. Can you do it? Now, mind you, I've never given a Bible study before. Okay? I reluctantly said, okay. And then when he gave me the name of the person, I almost fell over backwards. It was one of my co-workers, Francis Lum. And I says, did you just say Francis? Francis Lum? He says, yeah, do you know him? I said, by all means, I know him. I work with him. And so anyway, he told me what the Bible study was all about and gave me a quick rundown and jumped in my car, drove over to Francis's house and gave my first Bible study. And all the time praying and trembling, Lord, help me through this. Help me. Because you know I've never done this before. I've never shared you before. After that first evening, as I was driving home from the Bible study, I said, wow, Lord, why did you choose me to go to Francis? Well, the answer I got was, Pat, first it was a question, do you love me? Remember what Jesus did to Peter? That was beginning to happen to me. Pat, do you love me? And I said, yes. Will you go and share what you know about me? I said, but I don't know that much. What an excuse, isn't it? Huh. But God said, I will be with you. Isn't that Jesus' promise? I will be with you always. Even in those times, brothers and sisters, in those times when God is saying to you and I to go, all we need to do is say yes. Here I am, send me. Scatter seeds of kindness. Scatter seeds of truth about Jesus. Scatter compassion. Scatter joy, peace. Whatever you can, scatter Jesus. That's simply all he is asking you and I to do today. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. And it is my prayer that we as a church family in Hawaii, we say ohana. Ohana, family. We are ohana. And as ohana, we are to go forth and speak Jesus. Amen. Amen. And don't be afraid. As Elijah told the woman there in 1 Kings 17, don't be afraid, because God is the one that said so. Amen. Amen. So the next time you see an opportunity to share, do it. Do it and see how God will move through you. Because God is working. God is anxiously waiting to send his son Jesus back so that we can be with him through all eternity. But first, we need to scatter Jesus. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 361. Hark to the shepherd's voice I hear. I invite you to stand with me as we sing this hymn.